Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. I'm Michelle Mache. Welcome, hugs and hello to my co-hosts, cohorts, co-pilots in the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, which many people call the chat room, but I call it the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. Thanks to Tamara in the chat room and also Drita for that wonderful term, and it surely lives up to that. Welcome to a wonderful Wednesday. Here we are again, traveling, travailing, flying through the ethers of change. So much going on right now, individually and collectively in the world. So it's always great to connect with everyone and just to be able to share and connect. Also, I was peeking on the iTunes page, Awakenings with Michelle Mache, Awakenings Radio, either one of those titles will get you to the Awakenings podcast. And I want to give a big hug and thank you to those of you that have taken the time out to leave that appreciation comments. It's wonderful. I know everybody's busy. We have thousands of listeners, hundreds of thousands of listeners, actually. And it's really nice when people stop by the Awakenings Radio page on Facebook and say hello, let us know a little bit more about yourself, and leaving that great comments and feedback either on the iTunes page or the Blog Talk Radio page or the Awakenings Radio Facebook page. And I do want to mention again, please let us know about you or who you are. You can post what you like on the Awakenings Radio page. Find it by going to Awakenings with Michelle Mache or Awakenings Radio or Michelle Mache with one L, and that's M-E-I-C-H-E. And so it's really a community focus, so please post, let us know what's going on. I had someone the other day that bought some kind of transformational artwork from somebody, and they had emailed me and said, you know, I'd rather buy this and this jewelry from these people because I know them from your show, and we're part of a community. So not that you have to, but it's just nice. It's a nice way of everybody being able to connect. So call a number for questions or comments and for readings. I love doing readings. We do readings the first half of the program. That call in number is 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. Please press 1 on the keypad, and that lets me know that you want to get on air. Our guest today is Sean Fisher from Metaphysia 2012, and we're going to be talking about Vision 2013, intentional community, moving beyond. You know, there's a lot of that going on right now. I kind of invite you all to do that. We're kind of anchoring that energy really weekly on this program and through the connections that we're all making with each other. But that intention, the intent to connect more consciously and be present for not only ourselves in our own life, but each other, and to really reach out. I've always said, even if you're not an astrologer or don't really understand a lot about astrology, which is fine, if you there's some very simple, maybe someday I'll even do a post on it, but there's already so much wonderful information on the internet about this. Divine Mystic, Gail Powell has a website, divinemystic.com. Of course, Robert Wilkinson of Aquarius Papers, Alan Oaken, Risa DeAngelis. I'm missing one other person that we did have on a few months ago, but I really did like her work as well as an astrologer that really focus on this. I always say I'm an armchair, like armchair quarterback, armchair astrologer. Studied it, love it, do some readings, but really not my total main thing. So there's so many others that are really have dived in. Of course, also Jude Kuravan and Jude Kuravan, Stephanie Austin. There's a new one for you. And look on the internet. What is the Leo, Aquarius, Taurus, Scorpio axis, or that grand cross, if you will, that square that's there? It is the cornerstone. It is the foundation. It is the anchoring energy of the new paradigm that's anchoring, allowing the anchoring of the new emerging consciousness. I look at that as, what is it, the keystone, the cornerstone? You know, when you're building something and you have that foundation, there's that stone that's put there. And then what's working through that, what's ushering it in, is that Plutonian energy, that Pluto and Capricorn, their Uranian energy, Uranus, you know, in Aries right now, you know, the revolution, the liberation, clear the jetsam and the flotsam, you know, clear it out. That Saturn energy, go deeper, build deeper, more meaningful structures. Right now it's in Scorpio. Yes, Venus has a lot to do with it, Mercury, the Moon, the Sun. Yes, but that's all. But we're talking about those transpersonal planets right now that are really, you know, for the next 1,000 years, but for sure the next 10 to 20 years, it's really emphasized in the next 3 years, you're really feeling that bite. Go deeper, ground, go deeper, go deeper. And I want to touch on this a little bit. We will be doing readings, so again, press 1 on the keypad, lets me know you want to get on air. My intention, I think we're going to do a whole show actually on this, a whole program on archetypal readings and really dive in. I have a strong background in literature, myth, symbolism, symbology, dream interpretation, dream therapy, Jungian therapy. So I've focused a lot about and numerology as a master numerologist. So a lot of my training has been, even in the repatterning work that I do, looking below the surface. What are the trends? What are the archetypes? What are the symbols that are really up right now for people collectively? Because we are this archetypal energy. You can look in your life and see what archetypes you most associate with. And right now with that Saturn in Scorpio, and of course that Pluto energy, Pluto, you know, Saturn is working with structure, so is Capricorn. You know, Saturn, co-ruler of Capricorn. Grounding, Capricorn rules the earth. It's the little billy goat. It's Pan. It's the devil, which is lived backwards, right? So it's life. Pan is very mischievous, and we've kind of lost that trickster Pan energy in our life. So what's all happening with everyone, and call in, let me know, are you going through this, or put it in the chat room. I'd love to hear. Or email me at awakenings@selfandlight.com. Put it on the Awakenings Radio Facebook page. Aren't you all feeling a little heat right now, like you're in the underworld? Like you're going through hell, whether individual circumstances within or around you or what you seem to be seeing, like what's going on here? So I want us all to reframe this and lighten up a bit and look at that hell as Hades, which is simply the underworld. And Hades is one of the sons of Kronos. And so out of the mother, father, divine creation that we are, that cosmic play, of the interweaving of the masculine and feminine, the male, female, the mother, father, God energy, there's a begotten son, and actually also daughter. So it's the offspring. And one of the offsprings of this play of consciousness is time, space, time, energy dimensions. And time could be looked at as dimensions, as also space. Time could be also looked at as energy, ways of quantifying energy. So what am I saying here? We're playing here with energy, different forms and functions of energy, us as energetic beings. So what is required right now is that you get comfortable with the underworld, your underworld, as well as the underworld or the underpinning of everything that we are and have in this life, or you could even say, you know, dimensions, universe, past lives, whatever, however expanded you want to get with it. So what is required is a dredging up. And that doesn't have to be bad or negative. It might be. It might be scary, but there might be more fear coming up for people, fear of the physical body, uncertainty, fear of their job. I can't make it. I don't know where I'm going. I have children. What should I do? Why this is so happening? Our underpinning, we have pinned our reality to only what we can see. We have lost the mystical aspect of ourselves, the mystery, the part that really runs the universe, right? We need to get back in touch with that aspect of ourselves. So we're being depinned. You know, like when someone in the 50s, 60s, I don't know if you see those old movies, you know, I think it's the 50s, right? And you get the jet, you're going steady. And that's a whole trip in itself. And you get pinned, right? They got the pin, or they got the Letterman jacket. And I like old movies, so right? So we're getting deep pinned, you know. And you break up, and they take. I want my pin back. Give me my pin back. So we're breaking up. We're in a major breakup with the old reality. Okay, that's what's happening here. No one's abandoning us. No one's leaving us. We're in a breakup, and breakups are kind of scary. You know, you set your sights on someone, or it's a job. You feel let down. You feel hurt. You feel betrayed. You know, how could they do this to me? How could they leave me? You know, how could they, you know, not tell me they were leaving? But we've been getting hints about this breakup. So we're being deep-pinned, we're being broken up with our old reality, the old paradigm, the old relationships, whatever, husband-wife, girlfriend-girlfriend, boyfriend-boyfriend, boyfriend-girlfriend, girlfriend-boyfriend, supervisor, subordinate, boss, employee, employee-to-employer, employee-to-employee, whatever, relationships of all kinds. We cannot move into right relationship and therefore after that right livelihood without breaking up with the old within ourselves and on a societal level. And so it's twofold. There's a lot of fear that comes up about this breakup, and we've seen it. What happens when you get a divorce or you break? What am I going to do? My time, I miss the person, or I miss, you know, or death. I mean, that's the human aspect of us. We're used to that old relationship and the way it was, even if it wasn't fully functioning or we've outgrown it. It still props us up in life. It's still taking up space for us. So part of the archetypal energies that are really up right now, speaking of Pan and the goat, you know, is the devil card. Is what are you addicted to? Are you addicted to or over-focused only on the material or the earth or what you can see? What about the part of you that you can feel but maybe not see, your higher self? What about the subtle energy? What about the etheric plane that we're all connected to, the morphogenic field, the resonant fields? You know, Lynn McTaggart, who's been on our program quite a few times, you know, talks about this extensively and has done research on her website, and book, The Intention Experiment. You know, many people have, you know, brought this up, this field, this Larry Dossey, you know, about healing and prayer, that we do reach each other or touch each other, beyond the denser physical touch, or what we can't see but we can feel, or we can feel and see the effects of. And so be prepared to go in the underworld for a while and make peace with that. And when you go into the underworld, as, you know, Persephone did when she went on her little truck, there were things that she had to do. See, this is what we forget. There were tasks. So everybody is given a task that they have to do. Persephone, you see, we don't go to the underworld by choice, right, everybody? We might read about it. We might talk about it. We might take some workshops. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Oh, yes, I'd like to get to these deeper levels. I'd like to know myself. You know, I'd like, you know, I can't tell you how many people that in this awakening have told me, I'm so scared I'm becoming psychic, or I have healing energy or healing powers, or I'm starting to see people after they cross over. And that's scaring me. I'm like, why? Well, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, and in my mom's wise words, the people that you should be afraid of are not the ones that are dead, but the ones that are living. You have more control over what's in your reality, or how you experience the other side, or the other underworld, or the spiritual realm, or etheric plane. It's all by resonance. So you don't believe any little scary little thing. That's not going to happen to you. So Persephone gets carried off by the queen of the underworld. Demeter is also the queen, rules nature. So it's our own nature. We're being embraced by our own nature and, you know, drugged down, if you will. But, and what was it again? You know, here we go with Persephone had eaten the pomegranate, just like Eve ate the apple, right? So I'm going to tell you something, share something with you from a metaphysical point of view about the Bible, because that's also a study, a background of various religions and sacred texts. And it is the feminine aspect of us that is the questioning aspect, the contemplating aspect of us. This is why it's always the feminine that eats the apple, takes the seed, eats the pomegranate. What has to do with all those are about seeds, especially the pomegranate, but also the apple. So it's about new life. So the feminine within us, whether male or female physical body, is the part of us that yearns for that new life, yearns to have a baby, yearns to fill up that womb with something. It is the masculine aspect of us that seeks out, that does the action to the question. The feminine aspect of us questions, and the male aspect of us goes and seeks, goes out to seek the answer. There's the action there. The masculine aspect of us in the universe does the seeding, right? So, but to prepare for the birth or begotten of the new life comes from the feminine aspect. And then we get seeded with the new ideas or new life. But it doesn't happen without some kicking and screaming. It doesn't happen without some resistance. Even when you see animals mate, it's not all like nicey-nicey. And what I mean, I'm not even talking sexually here. It can be that. But I'm talking for that urge to that male aspect, female aspect, or the divine feminine, divine masculine, energetically. We're not talking gender here. To come together and beget new life, there's always some resistance to that. It's like, oh, we have enough here. We have enough children. We have enough ideas. We have enough here. We have enough. The status quo is fine. So there is that, at the same time, pulling apart or moving away, and then crash, coming together. And so Persephone really doesn't want to go down. We don't want to go down. What's in there? It's going to take time. There's going to be things that we have to do. So each of you are being given the next 3 years, and you'll feel it now from this month on, and it'll be very intensified or heightened. May, June, we're in a gateway portal of light right now. We have, usually we've been having them every November, December. They've been eking out to January, into January, beginning of February. You can feel that. So we're having them longer. The gateways, the portals of light are staying open longer. So we're now able to handle more intensification of energy. We're able to open and receive that energetic aspect of us through light more. So between now and I would say next January, February, you'll really see, God, I'm being asked to do these tasks, major learning lessons, major redirections of focus and energy, major learning lessons around trusting your higher self, trusting your soul self, connecting to your template of your soul design. Many of you have been seeing me in many different ways. I've been posting on my blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living, if you'd like to go to that. In many different ways, the same message, clearing the emotional body, moving out of projections into perception, trusting the higher self, connecting in with the higher self, feeling and knowing the subtle energy. How do you know if you're connecting in with the higher self? I've been doing, you know, once a month, Soul Path teleworkshops and in-person workshops on this. How to connect to the soul self. You know, what's your soul's purpose? What does it feel like to connect with the soul self? How does it sound to get the messages from the higher self? How do you know the difference between, is it ego creation or the higher self? Are you listening to the ego masquerading as the higher self? Is it really the higher self? How do you know this? So I've been posting a lot on this in various titles, various forms, kind of coming at it in different ways to open it up for more people, because that's a big part of this process, the shift, the awakening, as my daily OM course says, navigating the great soul awakening. That's what we're all doing here. We're awakening to the soul. We're awakening to the not only the importance of the soul, but what is the soul? And living by the template of the soul, and getting out of competition, and getting into cooperation, getting into celebration, getting into that pan energy. Let's have fun on earth, lightening up, upliftment, inspiration, living by coherence and resonance, coming together in shared tasks. So look specifically this year, but I will tell you it's going to be a 3-year cycle. The area, where are you being, what tasks are you being given? Is it patience? One of the things Persephone had to do was feed that three-headed, what is it, Cerebus? I can't think of the name. If somebody will have it, I know they'll know. The three-headed doggy for the past, the present, the future. That's our worries. You couldn't get by that dog because it can see behind. It has eyes everywhere. So ask yourself, are you not getting behind your worries or your what you perceive to be your problems? And I don't want to diminish anything because I've got my own. And it's, you know, life can be challenging and we get scared. We have problems or issues or how am I going to pay for this? How am I going to do? I don't have a job. My kids need this. I have to do that. Or I'm ill or whatever you're going through. But is whatever you're going through so consuming that you can't get to the deeper meaning or deeper issue or deeper problem or the pattern that's blocking your blossoming and your fulfillment? Are those problems blocking you from getting to your spiritual connection and seeing and having gratitude, seeing what the blessings are in your life? The only way we do that is by spiritually connecting. So we've got to distract that part of the brain, the body mind, you know, the ego. We've got to distract that human aspect and not get caught up in that, and so we can walk around that and get to that underworld, get to the rich grit of the underworld. Or are you counting seeds? Are you sorting through your life right now to see what is of deeper meaning? What is your truth? And that requires patience. You know, are you sowing? Is it the patience that you're having to, are you in the middle of the cycle of effort? Maybe you've had a great idea or a burst of energy or a new direction, but now you're in the effort of it. You know, you're having to knit one, purl two, you know, crochet. You're having to sew. Or maybe you're having to go to get the material, the fleece. Maybe you're having to go, you're in the secret explorer mode where you have to go get the material and bring it into back into your conscious awareness. So look for the task that you're being called to do, to focus on. At the basis or the crux of these tasks will be something to do with the higher self. Some understanding of the higher self, being able to connect to the higher self, understand the higher self. There will be some meaning, some message that is connected to that aspect of you. And by the way, these tests are not pass, fail, or, oh, you're being tested because you didn't do something or you don't know something. It's just the way that we unfold. I put on my blog post today about talking about a spiritual check-in. And again, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living is the blog. And I wrote in there, and Tammy, thanks for so much for bringing this to my attention. I wrote that your answers don't come so much from the question, but the process of the question, of answering the question. And think about that. When you ask a question, or you've got a problem, or you've got an issue, or you're asking your higher self a question, the universe, or anyone, you think about even when you're in school or you're in a workshop, it's not so much the answer that you receive that is where the golden nuggets are. It's the process of answering the question, what comes up, the dialogue, whether it's an inner dialogue, inner exchange, or an exchange with someone. Even asking someone, how are you? I haven't seen you a long time. Or I've heard you've been ill. How do you feel? It's not them saying, oh, I feel fine. It's all the stuff that's around that is really golden, that you need to savor, that's right, that makes it a special moment. Oh, yes, I was in the hospital. I had this hat. Oh, and then my aunt came and visited me. Oh, yes, and my husband went here. Oh, and my friend. Oh, and my son is there. Right, it's all that. It's all that's around. Oh, or I found out some wonderful homeopathic remedies I actually want to share with you. Or I met this amazing acupuncturist. Oh, you did? Oh, I've been looking for an acupuncturist. Oh, I'll give you the name of them. Do you see what I'm talking about? Look at all the rich. So very often, and I see this a lot with people that I work with, they want the answer and they want it now. They want the solution. All the while, there's a lot of meaningful interaction, connection, there's gold to be panned all around the problem and that person just asking the question, what am I going to do? How am I going to make money? How am I going to feed my family? I want to do a different job. How am I going to do that? How am I going to break into that new field? By the time you get your answer, your state of consciousness will have changed. Your mindset will have changed. So the question provokes a whole process within you and around you. And that's where not only one answer will come, but many answers and deeper understanding of yourself, your process, your path, life, the universe in general, and your relation to it. You'll find out in your questioning what's really important to you by what's coming up. So my suggestion is, don't try to get the answer so quickly. Don't try to dive in and say, I'm not receiving help from my higher self because they're not giving me the answer yet. I don't know the answer. So my higher self isn't there. God isn't there because I'm not getting the answer. You're getting many answers. You're getting a lot to work with if you would just see and listen and feel. And then out of that will come something perhaps in your mind that's more tangible. Right? Oh, Tamara put in the chat, your true answers will not come from asking the question, but from the process of asking the question. And Tamara's saying, by asking, you're declaring a willingness to be open. Yes, be open, because part of the process of asking the question is we don't usually get the answer we want or we think. Right? Because what's happening is our consciousness is expanding. Our attitude, our mindset is shifting. There's more conscious awareness coming in. So we don't know what to look for, because in the old mindset, right, Carl Jung talks a lot about this, Einstein, the old mindset, we're looking for a certain answer that reflects the old answers, the old solutions to problems, even the old problem. But the new information is coming in. So that process of asking the question, what finally gets us to ask for help, is what's key. And what's around that? What's at the beginning of asking the question? What's in the middle, and what's at the end of asking the question? That's where you're going to find the golden nuggets, I would say. It's the process. What is it bringing up for you? You're getting to know yourself probably better, right? All right. Todd put, we have the answers. We have to trust our higher self. Yes, because the answers from the higher self are going to come in a different form than what we thought, because we were looking through old glasses, if you will, old filtering. Because the problem that we have, that we're asking about, we're no longer in that mindset. We think we are. That's why we're looking for an answer that's coming from the old answers that we used to do or would do. And it's true, as Tamara put in the chat room, we have to be open. We have to be open to receive it and open to see, I'm not getting the answer that I want, is usually what happens. We want a different answer. We want the answer that we've already thought of, but that's not the answer from the higher self. So pretty amazing times that we're in. I mean, we're creating a wonderful species. We are a wonderful species of life. We are wonderful beings. And I think we're just getting to know that much more, how wonderful we truly are. Let's get to phone lines. If you do have a question or a comment, please press 1 on the keypad. And, of course, that number is 347-539-5122. And let's see who's here. 267-586. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hello, Michelle. How are
Hi.
You?
Hi.
This is Todd. How are you?
Hey, Todd. Good to see you.
Absolutely. It's been some time now.
I
feel like it has been such
a
day. Yes, yes. I actually have the day off today for the first time, so I'm enjoying
the
show, and it's been so long. And, it's just been a very hectic year. So much going on, and finally I've had to let go of a very, good paying job with benefits, and have to realize that spirituality, the relationship I was in, was no longer really doing it for me, spirituality in so many ways, and I wasn't really growing anymore. I was just going into so many other negative aspects of myself that I didn't want to be in. I'm trying to find myself again, in a way, trying to regroup myself, or get grounded again. I just wanted to know if you have any advice on those.
I love what you're saying, find yourself again and regroup. So I feel like this sharing, this talk is so much for you in a sense, is that deeper going within. The thing that comes up for me around you a lot is community or groups and sharing your insight or your knowledge, whether it's a meditation group or you pick a book or something you want to discuss or share. But I do feel there is an aspect of you that, on a soul level, that wants to come out more, to shine more, to share more of your understanding. And I feel from that, whether you just start going to a group on your own to more receive and then comment and share within the group feedback, and then start your own down the road.
Mm-hmm.
It is showing for you a lot of community, communal, also teaching.
Yeah,
you're
very
also
interesting.
Healing.
It's
healing
funny because I actually just landed two jobs where I work with mental health individuals. So that goes along with that. I think it's very communal. It's very communal, if you know what I mean. And
perfect.
Hoping that actually
yes,
does it.
Yeah. Are you going to be doing like a group there, leading a group? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, leading groups and working with mental health individuals of different spectrum of disorders and mental illnesses and disabilities, which I find that that's where I really belong. I feel like that really does it for me. I feel like, you know, that's where I need to be. And this year has been, has been such a transition. It really made me, you know, realize that there's more to it and I can do more. And I just felt like the other job that I had, working for a university hospital, just wasn't doing it anymore. And I wasn't really fulfilling the needs that I needed to do. And that is, you know, to give and give of myself rather than give, you know, on the basis of, you know, here and there. And that's that. I just felt like I could do more and there's more to do.
Yeah.
And I could actually share more, and that's where I just felt like it was just important to do that. That's where the call was.
And here's the thing, too, Todd. What you're saying is, and I'm going to put in the chat, the action is so important now. That is that those wonderful divine squares that we have with the Pluto cap, Uranus, Aries. Uranus and Aries is about action, and squares make things uncomfortable until we do take action. So we're being called, pushed, tickled, nudged, kicked to do more. You said the key word. That's what I wanted. Do more. I felt I needed to do more. And I find many people, it's not that what you're doing was bad or not enough. It's over. It's over. And if you're getting that call that you need to do more, that's it.
And
that's the direction
it wasn't
to go
about,
in.
Like, you know, to me, it wasn't about making such good money or having the benefits, because these two jobs that I have don't necessarily provide the pay that I want or that I need, but at the same time, it's like I would be happier knowing that I'm at least, you know, helping others instead of just making good money. I mean, exactly.
Yeah, that'll come, and I do see, actually, I do see, you know, even some of your own private groups, group workshops, as well as something that I keep hearing retail, so something that you're going to offer to people. I don't know if that's – it could be DVD. I don't know if book – maybe book, but I feel like there's something more like digital media, and then also something for – I feel like a healing tool. It could be meditation, tool of some sort, but that's down the road.
Wow, okay.
All right. Todd,
thanks
for joining
so much
us.
For taking my call, Michelle.
In. All right. Bless
and I look forward to the rest of the show.
Yeah, me too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hi, 646-729. You're on Awakenings Radio. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Michelle. It's Owen.
Hey, Owen. Welcome.
How you doing, kids?
I am doing spiffy.
Great. Yeah, I'm so glad I got through. Well, I'm calling because I had a question, quick question about a job. I'm waiting to get licensed for a massage. And, there's a prospective job that I'm hoping to get. And so it's all just kind of a matter of, like, timing and getting licensed. And I've been in a correspondence with the woman who's just opening this business, and sounds like she really wants to hire me, but I'm just wondering what you see in terms of timing.
Yeah, this could be for massage, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And does she have a few other people there also?
Yeah,
she other
does.
Practitioners or something? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it is showing yes, but you have to finish. You're not done yet with school, right?
I am finished. I graduated, but I'm just waiting to get a license. So it's like a lot of forms and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So, because it's showing finishing up whatever you need to finish it up. There's a completion there, and there's like a week to 2 weeks. It could be as soon as June, maybe mid-June, end of June.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. It is showing, new job. It is showing in that direction.
So great.
Yeah, so it's not that far. Yeah, not that far off.
Cool. And I also, I don't know if you have time, if you have a lot of other callers, but I saw that you were doing archetypal type things, and I just wanted to see if you could tap in and give me any insight to pick up.
Okay, what archetype is active in Owen's life at this moment? Well, okay, you've got a couple actually that are active right now. Let's see, what are they telling me? Well, in the tarot, you've got the high priest. You've also got strength. So it's asking you to connect more with your intuition, and I feel that's going to also be guided in the work that you do. You're going to be working very intuitively. So what the guides are telling me is you're going to learn to trust, touch, energy. And you may even say, oh, I knew I was supposed to go to that muscle group because I could just feel that needed attention, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're also building up, I would say, the energy of the emperor, building your own kingdom, if you will. And so the archetype, the emperor, we're going to call the builder also. So you're building something up. And you'll feel very busy, busy with your work, like you're finding your life's work.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, I'm already starting to feel that, so that seems to be
good.
Right on.
Good.
Yeah.
So remember your intuition. Remember your intuition. Integrate your intuition in all that you do now. That's a big part for you right now.
Okay. Cool. Oh. Great.
All right.
Great. Well, thank you
much
so much,
Owen.
Michelle. Yeah, I just wanted to say, too, I loved what you were saying before. I really, really connected with that. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. I think we have time for one more call. Much peace.
Bye.
And then we'll see if our guest is coming on air. Hello, 510-395. You're on Awakenings Radio.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing great. And to whom am I speaking with?
This is Tasha.
Tasha, what's your question?
I wanted you to do my chair first to see anything that comes up, just in general.
Well, ask a question.
Far as in the workforce?
Whatever you want to ask the question opens the channel.
I want to know, what do you see far as going on in far as my work life?
Okay. Well, the first thing I hear is not yet. Not to leave. I feel like you're getting a little slight. You know how new ideas kind of come in. There's like a little slight tickle of an idea of a new job or wanting to go in a new direction. And I also feel where you're at now is relatively new. Did you recently change jobs?
No, I'm in the medical field. I just haven't got my foot in the door to start working.
Okay. And what were you doing before? Because I feel like somehow this is something new for you.
I was a medical assistant, then I became a certified nurse's assistant.
Ah, okay, that's what it is. Okay, because it is showing something new direction. I do feel you getting work, but I almost feel like it could either be part-time or fill-in for a bit.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does.
Yeah. But you will get work. There is something different. I think you're going to work. It could be part time or fill in for a while, and then I do see something with a larger hospital that there will be more of a full time position. It's almost like, I don't know, what do you call that? There's different hours. But you'll do it and it'll be good. You'll do it for a while because I feel like the number one is the stability. The money will be good. Like swing shift, you're going to have different hours is what I'm hearing.
Okay.
So not to worry. That is coming up. I would suggest just take the fill-in one for a while, the part-time. Do that for a while. Then I do see you interviewing at another place And they're, I don't know if they're short-staffed or just really busy, but that one I see you working a lot. And I can hear you talking to a woman saying, oh, my God, my hours, it's just, it's so much, or they're changing my hours again in next week. But you'll hang with that for a while. And
okay.
Tasha, and build up the funds. You know, it could be even a few years before I feel there's another place where you're going to say, okay, I'm going to do different hours. This one's only 9 to 5 or 10 to 8. I can handle that. But, yeah, you're definitely on the right track, right path.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Ah, wonderful to connect everyone. Let's see. Career, something that makes you happy. Todd's putting in the chat, job just to make money. Sometimes that's what's needed. So we can't always judge what other people's circumstances are. Because sometimes mouths to feed, whatever, you know, again, everybody's path is similar, but also very individual and unique. All right, it's that time for Awakenings Radio, where we have our awakened guests come on the program. And today on Awakenings, we have Sean Fisher, who's an independent filmmaker and entrepreneur. Many of you may know him from Metaphysia 2012. He wrote, produced, and directed this award-winning documentary. Very interesting background. I look forward to talking to him further about Metaphysia and how that affected him. He's also birthing in a new project, a new vision, if you will, which is called Vision 2013. You can find more information on it at vision-2013.com, which is a project which is intended to become a new community platform that can carry the vision forward of living together far beyond what we had imagined in the 2012 focus. Hello, Sean. Welcome to Awakenings Radio.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
I can. Great.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. This is fantastic for a Wednesday afternoon for me.
Isn't it? Yep, it's a wonderful Wednesday. I'm kind of curious because, you know, there was so much hubbub about 2012, and as we see, that's, you know, was I don't even know if I'd say a milestone. Perhaps a lot more awareness came up about metaphysics and maybe the soul, and but clearly that was happening before 2012.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel collectively and perhaps even for you individually, 2012 was about?
Well, that's a great question. For a lot of people I knew, and I think I would fit into this category, 2012 was actually a very challenging year, a lot of ups and downs or challenges and tests. Because I made Metaphysia, the documentary film, and I got to interview all these experts, and I had this incredible synchronicity and story occur, I had kind of a different perspective than maybe the average person on the streets of what 2012 meant. I never felt that 2012 was going to be an end of the world. My film doesn't talk about it being an end of the world or some kind of doom and gloom scenario. But I did feel that there was a kind of intensified sensitivity to our higher human potential, spiritual potential, and a deeper questioning about what we're all doing on the planet together, over against all the divisive belief systems that we've kind of inherited from generations past, where I believe this, you believe that, so we're different. It kind of felt like the last number of years people have been questioning that model of existence. Are we really different? You know, or is there something else going on? And it's kind of a universal shakeup time where the old paradigms are literally being shaken and stirred, and people are questioning. Not everybody, of course,
but
that's what I felt 2012 was more about, a kind of reflective year of challenge that challenged the old views that we all grew up with and was kind of prodding us forward to look at a new way of looking at the planet. And that's a gentle way of saying it. The other way of saying it is that the planet and the energies of the time are literally forcing us to do that. And that's what 2012 felt like, where a lot of crises, a lot of economic challenges, a lot of intensified threats around the world, and a kind of a peering insight into the world conditions via the internet and media, where we can see the poverty, we can see the imbalances on the planet like never before. And that, to me, is what 2012 was more about.
So let me ask you, Sean, how did you get to this? And maybe even start with your
to Planet Earth?
Awakening. Maybe your how did you get?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out, but I'll let you know when I find out.
Really? Okay. Do you feel you had an awakening? You know, some kind of turning point that got you to look in this direction? Because, you know, you started out, as a writer or wanting to become a writer.
Right.
You interned for America's Most Wanted. So that's kind of, that's an interesting little jog there, a little segue, a little turn,
Yep. I wanted to be I wanted to tell stories. I wanted to be a writer. I was kind of a romantic. I had kind of a romantic view of writing when I was in college. Used to. Ernest Hemingway was my famous writer back then. I was really into that. That 20th century literature mindset, which really doesn't fit into today's world. But back then, I was into all that, and I never really could understand how I would ever make a living doing that. I felt like I had a talent for it, and I enjoyed it. I just enjoyed connecting with people where you could tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
And people would, when we hear stories are very important to us because it helps us to make sense of our own life story. And really, what I've learned through this whole process of making the movie and just in life in general is that our lives are unfolding in cycles. We literally are going through cycles of experience. We don't just go through one life experience and then we're done. We go through all these cycles within our life, which is a greater cycle. And those cycles, those smaller cycles of experience, we can summarize as a story. A certain period of time in our life, we can tell a story about it or many stories within it. And that is one of the great modes of art, is telling stories. And so I always wanted to do that. Didn't know how to make a living with it. So I went the business school route and got into business, and I realized that did not resonate with me entirely. But being an entrepreneur did. An entrepreneur is more of a person who can be creative in his business. That's the way I viewed it. So eventually, I found a way to explore storytelling and writing again and my business interests, and that's where the movie idea came from. But deeper than that was just the spirit of it. Did I go through an awakening? Yes. I've always been a spiritual person. I didn't always know what that meant. Especially when I was very young, I was questioning life at a very deep level, and I explored the Eastern traditions, transcendental traditions, meditation and all that. And it wasn't until maybe my 30th birthday or so, somewhere around there, that I had kind of an awakening to all these metaphysical ideas. I didn't even know these types of things existed, like astrology or intuitives and things of that nature, all these metaphysical ways of viewing the universe. And that set me on a course that eventually led me to making this movie, Metaphysia. I had an awakening where I was having these very powerful dream experiences, kind of in tandem with meditations I was doing. And at the same time, I was just observing the world, and living a very spiritual, disciplined kind of life, and seeing that the world was in a very strange condition at this time, much different than my own parents or grandparents went through. And where was it going? Because it seemed to be going wherever it was going, faster and faster and faster, almost impossible to keep up with what's happening every year. And that led me on this search, this quest, to go out and find out what was happening at this time on Earth and try to make sense out of it, allow me to explore my creative and writing again, and because it's a film, potentially turn it into a business, right? So it just synchronized everything in my life at that time. But I was having these very deep awakenings to something was going on. Something had to be behind this phenomenon, which eventually, through the making of the film, became the concept of 2012. And really, what's happening after 2012 is the magic right now. 2012 itself was more of a transition point, which is what I learned. Right now, we're in the real time of whatever is meant to occur. And all the choices we have to make, personally and collectively, are right now, into the next few years ahead. And these are critical choices ahead, personally and collectively. And so we're looking to repackage Metaphysia, because most of the film talks about what's happening now, what it means to be beyond 2012 at this time. And I think there's some important messages in the movie for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, we're in a time period of really, I think the action, the anchoring it, making it less perhaps ethereal, ephemeral, or ideological, but actually living it, which perhaps is maybe where your Vision 2013 comes in. I want to jump into that a little bit and ask you to share more of what that vision is.
It's a good question. You know, Vision 2013 is probably going to change to something. What I learned in all this is don't put a year on it.
Yes.
Because
yes.
By the time you get it out, the year's over, right? So
yeah,
it's like saying Awakening
and
Blog Talk Radio 2013.
Finding, yeah, well, what I'm finding, it's so funny you say that because I have a daily OM course called, finally got the title changed because they wanted that darn 2012, and I'm like, these changes have been going on and they're going to continue. No, no, it's got to have 2012 in it.
Right, right.
So now it's Navigating the Great Soul Awakening. But you're right, but people get hooked on those, the numbers, the dates, and it's exceeding.
It's,
you know,
the universe
changes
is such a grand, you know, it's there's something, it's very difficult to pinpoint. You know, these things don't happen. I studied astrology throughout this time for many years now, probably almost 10 years, and I tell friends of mine, I say, you know, when we transition from nighttime to morning, the sun doesn't just pop into the mid-noon sky.
Yeah.
That's not how day begins,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's how these cycles transition. There's a light that gradually is moving upon us, and it's always happening like that. And we sense it, we feel it, we intuit it, but because our society is so left-brained and rational and logical and everything has to be scientific or it doesn't exist, then we tend to deny what we're feeling. As a culture.
And I like what you say, Sean, that it is a cycle, because I think, you know, there is that waxing and, you know, waning. You do start feeling the changes, whether it's individual or collective, inner or outer. You do start feeling it ahead of time, but there is something about that demarcation, you know, whether it's a tangible object or a date or an event. I think people do look for that. I think that's right. I think it's going to happen less, but we still are in that that paradigm.
Well, you can identify certain periods of time where cycles change, and those don't change any more than night changes to afternoon. There's a gradual, you know, blending of the night fading out and the morning rising. And 2012 and even this year is kind of that time where an older cycle, and we might even say it's years before 2012 and years after. We don't know the exact time. In Vedic astrology, they talk about these great cycles in our own life where we might complete a cycle and be entering a new one as the convergence or confluence of two rivers from different directions. And they kind of merge into where they cross each other. It's very turbulent. It's very turbulent as you move from one river into the next river because they hit each other at a point where it's, you know, two rushing rivers from different directions. And I think 2012, again, that's the metaphor. It's that we're ending a certain time and way of consciously experiencing life, our own humanity, and so is the planet in a lot of theories, the whole entire planet as a conscious being, and the cosmic system as a conscious being. So that's the metaphysical side of things that we explore in this movie. You know, this movie is different and unique because we look at things from the practical level. We look at the world situation. We wonder about how we could still be having all these wars and economic craziness in the world, that this time, with all this advancement, all this supposed maturity of the human species, and yet we still act like, you know, children in the world, killing people and hurting people for nothing, for greed. We look at that in the film, but we look at these metaphysical factors, the depth that most of these explorations never really consider. And we consider the Native American spiritual powers that predicted all of this and that actually predicted they would rise up and return humankind to a proper relationship to the earth and the cosmos, the mysteries of the cosmos. We don't even talk as a society about, I mean, just turn on the television if you want. I don't recommend it, but turn it on just for fun for an hour and flip through the channels in the afternoon, right about now, and tell me if anyone's talking about the mystery of existence on TV, the cosmic mysteries of us being here, why we're here together. Nobody's talking about it.
Well, there are a few. If you go into PBS, Nova, there's a few. I catch them here and there, obscure channels, but they're certainly not on broadcast.
Thank God. That must be the metaphysical part rising.
It is true. It's the metaphysical. Yeah, there are Nova and some of the closer to truth. But you're right. It's not in the fabric on a mainstream societal level. It's not yet. Yeah, I love that you say yet. It's fringe. Is that part of your vision? Do you see and feel that it will be more in the mainstream at some point?
So here's my vision, and we'll put it on. This will be recorded, right, for our radio show. Your radio show.
Oh yes, prosperity.
Okay,
there we go. Yes.
So, the Vision 2013 is, we're probably going to get rid of the 2013. What I learned through making Metaphysia the movie, it was a magical experience. The movie documents my experience meeting Michael Beckwith and Chief Sonny Reyna and all these incredible teachers and people traveling across the United States and talking to them, and it's totally unscripted. So I didn't sit down and just interview people.
Mm-hmm.
I actually explored, and I allowed the universal forces around us to show me where to go next and let the story unfold. And it really was one of the most magical experiences of my life. And it took many years to tell this story. And that's what the movie is. But what I learned is that we don't always know what the vision is. We really don't know where the planet is heading and what it should look like. Everybody talks about peace on Earth. We all want peace on Earth. If I were to sit down with a group of people who all wanted peace on Earth, we all want it, of course, and tell me, what does that look like? You're going to get a different answer from every single person. Nobody knows. Absolutely nobody knows the true potential of peace on Earth or living in harmony on Earth, because we haven't done it yet. And in a similar fashion, if I were to say, what does your future look like, you personally? You would sit down and you might tell me all kinds of things that you want to do with your life and things. And what's funny about that, because you've already lived through a number of years, is if you look back at what you hoped and dreamed for years ago and then what you actually did, in many cases it was different than what you thought, but not always bad. It was sometimes even better than what you thought. And that's what I mean. It's the vision that I have is that we don't know. We enter into it with intention. That's it. And we allow the mystery of existence that is greater than us individually, but together is us, to share what that is. So we learn through the process of living together with intention what it will become. And it becomes a daily magic, a daily form of power to actually learn what we can do together, because we really don't know. We've never had a time on Earth in the recent few thousand years of recorded history where human beings have actually come together with a unified intention and the power of that. We've never done it. So the vision is, we don't know the vision. We know the intention. And the vision is given to us through the magic of what we're doing together.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Now, how I'm going to put that on a website,
that,
I don't know. But
Yeah, put it, you will. Because if it's new, you know, I call it the new emerging consciousness. We don't know what it is because it's new. It's being birthed through us as us. So,
yes.
Right? It's new. And I love that, because it's true. You can look back. We are at an unprecedented time. And if it is truly a new paradigm, if it is a new emerging consciousness, the fact that it's emerging through us, it's going to be new to us.
And that's the trap. That's the limitation, you see, is that everybody thinks, myself included, I had to learn this through making this movie. Everybody thinks we should know already. We should know how this should work. We should make it work that way. But the truth, the funny thing is we don't know, and it's okay. It's okay to not know because the uncertainty is where the magic is. We have to go there to find it.
Yes. It's like living, to me, in meditation, being in that meditative state that you just show up. You're role-less, you just show up, and you respond. And I think that's the new emerging consciousness. That's what's being required of everyone. It's also people resisting it, right? Because as you're saying, we want to know, or we think we know, or we want to orchestrate it. But it's such an expanded aspect of ourselves. It's such an expanded...
I think it's part of the frustration of the time for people like you and me and your audience is that we feel our intentions and we know our power and we're coming into it. And we don't know... We're getting frustrated because we can't figure out how to unify and what we're supposed to all do and make... We're still impatient with it. And, you know, what all my message is if you watch my movie... I didn't script any of that. That movie was made through the process I'm describing, and much of it was revealed to me in the movie. You know, I had to go through it and
translate
it. Which
is very brave, by the way, as a filmmaker. That's very brave to do, because then you're left with this creation that
you don't know.
How do I edit it? Where you don't know. Yeah, you're talk about complete trust and people waiting for you. Oh, you're going to do this, or, you know, we want to see the finished product, and it's literally emerging.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, did you have any trepidation about that? Did you second-guess yourself on that, or did you just roll
with
it?
Oh, my gosh.
Truth.
I need about 20 years of therapy after making this movie. No, just kidding. I tell friends, because everybody does ask me that, because, you know, the movie – It's a powerful film, and it's not. And I'm not saying that because I made the film. I'm saying because the film, the power behind the film that guided me through it, and the Native American shamans that are in the film, are just. It's very hard to describe, and it comes through the movie. And I think that's why people feel it's a different kind of movie experience. And the truth is, if I had known everything that would be required of me to make this film, I wouldn't have made it. It was that difficult. I mean, it was an ordeal of ordeals for me. But my gift in this life, everybody has their gifts they're learning about, is it's very hard for me to quit something I feel passionate about, no matter how hard it gets. And to an extent, that can be a difficulty in my life, because sometimes it is good to let things go. But for me, it's very hard to do that if I really believe in something. And I believe there was a magic around the process of this film unfolding, and it had to get out there. And I still feel like it has more potential to get out there. And to answer your question, I went through years with this film. The making of it, meeting the people, was only one aspect of it. How to tell all those experiences and the story I went through, the transformation, in a under two-hour film, that was very difficult. And how to finance it and all the practical level matters was also very difficult. So I went through a lot of challenges, a lot of sleepless nights, because, like we were talking about, I didn't know. I didn't even know who the film was being made for anymore. I went out to make a movie called Metaphysia, and it was really an exploration of what's happening on Earth at this time. And when I went through the entire process, it was a different film, a different story, and I was a different person. And there is so much risk in that. You know, if I sat down in Hollywood and pitched this idea to them, they would laugh me out the door with that kind of an idea. So it was a risk, but because of my own faith and trust in the universal power, the divine power, we'll call it, I just simply stayed with it, and it emerged successfully. And that is the message that I want to share. Watch the film, please, but go through the process with faith and expect it to be difficult at times. That's the other message, because I've met a lot of people who are very well-intentioned, but they think it should just be that we're going into the golden age tomorrow.
The happy pill, the bliss bunnies, I call it.
That's not how it works on Earth. That's not how, I mean, what planet are you on? I mean, that's how it works, maybe in some dream you had last night, but on planet Earth, we go through tests, we go through real transformation, and it really requires sacrifice. You must sacrifice in order to come out as someone who has grown through something, and that is exactly how it works on planet Earth. The Native tribal people, the Native Americans, they put their youth, when they become adults, through a process of becoming a young man or woman through sacred ceremony. And that is usually a small ordeal, a test, a challenge for them, because that's the model by which we all grow in life. We go through these periods of testing, and we're meant to pass those tests and become a man, a true man or true woman through that process. And that's what we're missing in our culture, in our society. But it's coming back. People are going through it right now because the universe is demanding we grow. The cosmic system is growing. It's evolving. And we have to evolve now too. So everybody's going through these personal crises right now. And what I'm saying, in my experience, my advice is, that's good. It's okay. Stick with it. It doesn't always feel good. It's difficult. The best thing you can do is get on this radio show. Meet other people locally that you know that are of a similar mindset. Don't hide away and wonder
don't
if you're
isolate,
going crazy.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, I like that.
So that's,
don't
my,
hide
that's
away,
what my message is. It is a sacred ordeal, and that's because that is how all things work in this dimension. We go through these cycles of testing and challenge, and the rewards are we come out of it a much better person. Much more empowered, and we look at life and Earth and everything in a much different way now that we've gone through that experience. And we might say we never want to go through that again. We might say that, but we are in most cases we're usually glad to say that we did go through it that one time.
Yeah. Thank you for calling that. That one time. Yes, that's true. Went through to the other side.
Because people are asking me, when are you going to make Metaphysia the sequel? When's the next movie coming out? And I'm going, oh, my gosh, they have no idea. I will never do that again. No, I'm just kidding. But there's a part of me that doesn't want to do it. I mean, I just don't, because it was such an ordeal to get this birthed that I'm in that time right now of just kind of, I'm just chilling, you know?
And you need to. You know, you've got to fill back up again. You know, they've got...
Yes.
Now, you did say, Sean, it took a long time. Give us a little bit of an idea. You know, is it time in actually doing it, or is it a long time in setting it up and then post-production?
Sure.
Or, yeah, give us a little bit of a picture of
so,
that.
So, again, this is the Sean Fisher Film School, the ordinary film school. They wouldn't allow me in. They would reject my... I wouldn't get into any film school with this model. So just so you know.
Okay.
But this is the new cosmic post-2012 film school. And this is the way everybody I recommend should live their life, because it's fun. If you can create a project this way, if you can do it and get through it, you're going to love it. What I did is I went through the entire process intuitively. And then, you know, eventually I would have a lot of practical people around me and sit down with them, and they would give me feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would tell them, no, let's go do this today. And they would go, you're crazy, but we'll do it. And it would end up working. So intuition was the key. I started in 2006. And time, by the way, you asked about the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because time in this movie, Metaphysia, is a little different. I believe that the movie was mapped out the moment I decided to make it. As new agey as that sounds. I really believe that this was happening on, like, shamanic time, I call it, because I was working with Native American shamans and all these teachers from other realms of experience who could navigate other realms of experience. And I just believe the moment I truly in my heart committed to making the film, there was really a destiny for the film that was going to unfold. It wasn't necessarily fixed day to day, but the entire pathway was. And I just didn't know about it. It was revealed through linear time, as it should be. But in shamanic time, there is no linear time. It's all happening kind of at the same time, right?
Right.
So I started in 2006 having no idea what I was getting into. But on some level, I think I did know. So that's the paradox of my experience. And I went through about a year of traveling and making the film, literally filming with people, with no script. So if I met somebody and they told me, like, you need to go see Michael Beckwith and I can get you a meeting with him, I would go there. You need to go see Dr. Robert Thurman in New York of Tibet House, Uma Thurman's father, really powerful Buddhist teacher. I went there. That's kind of how I made the movie. And then when I learned something that I didn't even know, that's when the movie story began to evolve. And that was basically a year. And then what I realized is all this incredible stuff was downloading from these experiences and all these people. They were telling me things that half the time were going over my head because I wasn't prepared for it, what they were saying. A Native American teacher I encountered named Chief Sonny Reyna of the Yaqui Carrizo Nations told me all these things in our phone conversations, which are in the film. I have all the phone conversations in the actual movie. And I didn't even know what he was telling me until after I filmed. So that's what I mean. It was like all this information and all this had happened to me. And for me then to sit down and make sense of it took me about 2 or 3 years. Not just to make sense of it, but to tell it to people. Because they weren't going to believe me. They weren't going to believe this Native American teacher was calling me. So I had to put the phone calls in the movie so they would hear him and know that I didn't make this up. So all this stuff is happening to me. It took until about 2010 to complete the film, 4 years, which included mostly 2 to 3 years of post-production of trying to figure out how to tell the story and then practically who was going to work on that with me, who was going to sit there every day and edit every day, who was going to go through thousands of hours of footage I had and pull out the story. And I think I went through 7 editors in 2 or 3 years. What I found is people got involved with me for a period of time because they were meant to, and then energetically it just got to be too much. The metaphysical energy around all these people and interviews, they just got burnt out and had to leave the project. Every single person was important to the project, very important, but nobody really stuck with it all the way. There wasn't really one person helping like that. But it was all these people that through a period of about 2 or 3 years after we filmed for a year, 2006 to 2010, and then we premiered at a big film festival in 2011, in which we won Best American Documentary at the Akasha Metaphysical Film Festival, which was a great film festival in Monterey, California. And we got to meet Stephen Simon of What Dreams May Come, who was there, the Bionic Woman, Lindsay Wagner was there, and I got to give her a copy of my film. It was a really cool film festival, and that's where we premiered, and we won Best American Documentary, which was a shock. And after that, the film just started to take off. And here we are today on Awakenings Blog Talk Radio, and it's like the pinnacle. I'm at the pinnacle today so far.
I love it, Sean. I love it. Well, you really stuck with it, which to me is also, I think, a really good message for people is that effort, the persistent effort that we are on this earth plane, that you can have this amazing idea, and it even perhaps even begins to be a very easy birth in the beginning, or there's a flow, but that the flow is, you know, there's a lot of different types of flow, and just to stick with it.
I mean, we all want to give up, right? At times, we get excited by a creative energy that's flowing in our, which is a new energy that's really who we are, but it's coming out of us at this time, and we're excited to grow, to learn, to have this new experience, and then we're required. Something's required of us. We have to grow. We're tested, and there's no doubt I must have wanted to quit making this movie 200 or 300 times over the last few years. There's no doubt. I mean, I got to points where I wanted to quit and was willing to, but you go to sleep, you wake up the next day, you get back in tune with nature, with the universe, with your divine spiritual practice, and you're re-inspired with the original vision of why you're doing this. And that's, again, I'm sharing that for those who are listening. That's what you're going through in your own life. You're inspired by something you want to do, or you're looking for that inspiration. And every time you feel like you want to quit, that's actually a sign that you're growing. It's a sign that you're growing.
And what helps re-inspire you? Is it a few things, various things? And also, do you seek re-inspiration? Do you know that, okay, I'm getting
depleted,
I need to seek it? You do. Okay.
No, it's not that I seek it. It's that I, for me, you know, I'm a different kind of guy, I guess. You know, for me, it's the divine, and I'm not saying that in a new agey way at all. I'm saying literally, the spiritual force of love, divinity, truth that I've spent nearly my whole life seeking and finding, which really isn't what my movie's about, but that's I'm just sharing a little bit of my personal story.
Just what we want.
That is more of what inspires me every day, because if I can feel the divine and truly feel the divine, not in my imagination, if I can do a meditation or a spiritual practice or do something sacred where I might be walking in nature and I can really connect with the magic and power that's beyond me, just me as I know myself to be, I'm inspired, because that is why we're here. That is who we are, and that's what life is about. But we forget that because we have our own limitations and we're living in a limited society. That's why. But if you can find a sacred walk, a path, each day that really does connect you with the true living divine power, however that's going to be for you at this time, you will find all the inspiration you need to do what you're here to do. And everybody has that creative juice in them to do something special in life that means something to them. And that's where I have to do that every day. If I don't do that daily, I'll sink back into that negative flow. Everybody will.
Everybody
it's a discipline.
Will, yeah.
It's like you have to brush your teeth every day. You have to, well, you should at least. And you should take a shower, right? And you should do the things you got to do. And one of those things you should be doing is connecting to the sacred spirit that is the power, the mystery of all of this. And I can't tell you how to do that, because that's the old way of doing things. My religion versus your religion. It's not religion to me. It's the living truth, what's alive right now. And I have my path, you have yours, but what's important is that we walk it at least for a period of time every day.
I like that. Now, we have Sean a question. And by the way, any listeners, if you do have questions or comments, please feel free to call in at 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. I do see some people in the queue, so I just want to make sure you did have a question or comment. We do have a question from one of our French-speaking people in the chat room. Is this metaphysia in other languages?
On planet Earthbound languages?
Earthbound. I like that.
No, we don't, unfortunately.
Or maybe there's room for an interpreter. Go to the website, Todd. Maybe you can
I am looking for ways to translate the film into every known language on planet Earth. I would love to. There's that ambition, and then there's the practical level of things. What it takes to do that is usually money and, you know, hiring the people to sit down and do it, and distribution. That's the part that, right, so if I could have looked at this and say, what's the one thing I would have done differently that I didn't do because I didn't script this out, it would have been to really have some kind of distribution plan at the end of this process so that I could get the film in Europe, I could get the film in South America, and I could have it, you know, available to many more people than I did when I first came out with the film. So the answer is no. I'll say it in French, no. I think it's no in French. It's not translated in French. But I would like to have it translated, and if he's willing to help, I would send him a copy, or she, a copy of the film.
Okay. Did you hear that? Okay, so they're listening. So we actually have quite a few listeners in that realm, in that world, so you never know, how that transpires. Okay.
I mean, that's my biggest disappointment, to be honest, is that I think the film's message can appeal. I really wanted to connect with a million people around the world, right? That's what I wanted. And I still think it can. I just have to figure out at this time, or listen, feel, what is the way to do that now? Because it's not a 2012 film anymore. So I have to figure out how I'm going to do that.
Yeah, repackaging. And which reminds me, too, you are offering to listener participants the DVDs of Metaphysia 2012, 2-for-1 special. And how would they, so they can keep one, give one to a friend. And that's, they can find out about that by going to metaphysia2012.com for orders.
Yep. If they go to Metaphysia, M-E-T-A-P-H-Y-S-I-A. So it's like the word metaphysic, but it's Metaphysia. No C, but an A. Metaphysia 2012.com. And they order a DVD off the website, I'll send them two. And I'm just going to do that for anybody who orders in the next week off of your radio show. And that way they can give one to a friend.
Wonderful, wonderful. You also have here for questions about orders, CEO at marinstudios.com. But it also sounds like the best way is go to metaphysia2012.com.
If they go to our website and they have questions or want to contact me, there is a way to contact us off the website. Or my company is Marin Studios because I used to live in Marin County, California. So CEO at marinstudios.com is a way to contact me if anybody has questions.
Sounds good. And love to have you back as your Vision 2013 and beyond, whatever that ends up, the title change on that is, to come back and share. We have a lot of community-minded people that listen, so you never know what connections and collaborations can take place.
And that's the vision. You don't know. And I love it. I really appreciate you having me on here, and I appreciate your good energy and support. And I would like to stay in touch.
Yeah, let's definitely. Yeah, I tried to see you. Know if you were at a friend of mine, and he's also a friend of the program. He's been on a few times. Lee Mikowski. You were at his. I tried to get there, and I don't remember. I was taping, or I don't know what was going on. There was something, and it got late. So,
can I tell you just a 30-second story at that event?
Yes, please.
So I was at Lee McCluskey's house, right? And you know Lee's a famous actor, and he's very metaphysical kind of guy, right? He's very sharp, very like a creative genius in many ways.
Oh, yeah.
And he invited me and Native American chief in the film to come to his home and to show the film. And he was going to have all these people, and other people were inviting people to come watch the film in his home in Malibu, I think it was.
Malibu.
So we got there. Now, the first thing that happened is Chief Sonny Reyna wasn't feeling well, so he couldn't make the trip. So I got into Lee's house, and we're about to start the film. And so I speak for a couple of minutes in front of everybody. There's probably 60, 70 people there. And Chief Sonny Reyna is... He's on the telephone. We called him in, and he's going to conduct an opening ceremony because that's how we usually watch Metaphysia. We do a small prayer, and then we watch the film, and it's really magical. So we did the film in his traditional way. He was on the phone, and I was holding the phone in front of the audience, and I had to offer sage to the four directions for Chief Sonny Reyna.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is absolutely true. As soon as I finished the fourth direction and said the final line of the prayer – while I was talking to him on the phone, all power went out in the house. Literally, boom, just like that. And I said to everybody, because it was like a huge stir in the house, it was dark, there was no power. We had just done the prayer, and I said...
It's dark anyways there.
We were way out in the stars, right?
Yeah.
And so everybody's... All of a sudden, there's a silence in the room, and I said... Everybody, I'd like to welcome you to Metaphysia. And they all laughed because that's how the film was made. These strange synchronicities would occur at just that moment. And what ended up happening is we rescheduled the film the next day. We never got the power back on. We all stayed in the room for about 3 hours, about 60 or 70 people in the dark with candles, singing and chanting and telling stories and just really amazing community experience together. And we never watched my film. The whole thing was about getting together. And then the next day we went to a real fancy home, watched the film, and some VIPs were there who were not going to be at Lee's in the original film screening. And they watched the film, and it helped the film. It ended up becoming much better, in other words, than anything I could have planned that weekend.
And that's, to your point earlier in the program, that's the idea of just showing up and letting that spiritual energy move through us, right? Because it orchestrates what's – we can't even imagine how magical or phenomenal. Yeah.
Have faith, because in the moment the power went out, after I said the prayer, I knew right away something was happening. I knew. I mean, I've been through making years years of experiences like this with this film, and your first feeling is disappointment. You're like, oh, gosh, now I'm not going to show my film, and everybody came here for nothing. And then all of a sudden you drop that.
Yeah, as the little spiritual worker bees, and I think we're learning not to be the worker, but just to show up, to be in the magic, the flow
that's
of it.
And that's the vision.
Lee's Place, by the way, yeah, is amazing because it's on the four directions. It's a very sacred site. You've got the north, south, east, and west. It's right in the center.
I was so impressed by him. He has this, as you know, this room where he's an incredible painter, and he's painted all the walls and ceilings with all these metaphysical visions. And I was just really intrigued by him, and he ended up watching my film later that night. We ended up sitting and talking together for a while. I just really enjoyed him.
Oh, well, I've really enjoyed this, and we're recording. The live broadcast is done, so people listen to the rest of our chit-chat in the archives and iTunes podcast. And appreciate you really taking the time out to come share with us. Really, really appreciate all that you've shared, and wish you much magic unfolding.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you to the audience for listening. And please do watch our film if you get some time. I think it'll be very rewarding for you. It's a different kind of film experience, very magical. And let me just say, in Chief Sonny Reyna's language, he taught me this. I'll say goodbye by saying Yahete, which means with love from my heart.
I love it. And I'll say aho.
Aho.
Much peace. Aho.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.